We have a very important article with extremely important information up on our website, dailyveracity.com, called Climate Alarmism, a Land Grab Manufactured and Funded by Bankers for Bankers. And it's exactly what it sounds like. You have alliances being formed by groups of banks or individual bankers, individual investors, multinational corporations, people like Michael Bloomberg and Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos and Janet Yellen and Citibank and Bank of America and Banco Santander and HSBC, all coming together to form different alliances in order to pressure countries, mostly developing countries, into giving their land to them or opening up their land to privatization for them to invest in, or opening up their land for them to mine in so that they can then obtain those resources, obtain that land, and monetize it. And the kicker is, which we're going to get into in this article, is they are creating what they call natural asset corporations based on natural assets from the land. One natural asset, they say, could be photosynthesis, right? The process by which plants produce turn carbon dioxide into oxygen, or pollination. So they take that natural asset, they then apply an intrinsic value to it through one of these alliances called the Intrinsic Exchange Group, and then they create a natural asset corporation that is the issuer of those natural assets, that represents those natural assets, and then they sell those natural assets on the New York Stock Exchange. And so this is what we're going to get into today. And basically, it's the same thing that's been happening forever in the Western world, forever in the world in general. They scare the heck out of you. They manufacture a consensus about an international problem. Then they manufacture the consensus about an international solution. And both the problem and the solution come from the bankers. And they've been doing this forever with wars, with global threats and enemies, the old war on terror versus the new war on terror, with COVID and the response to that. And now with climate change. And this is what we're going to get into today. Very important stuff. Before we get started, I just want to remind you, hit the like button below to boost this video, no matter which platform you're watching on. Make sure to share this video with family and friends. And before we get started, I want to give a big shout out to this video sponsor. This video has been kindly sponsored by My Digital Money. And some people say that their biggest problem with cryptocurrency is the volatility. Maybe some say it's the charges. Some say that they can't figure it out. It's too complicated. Like my parents, they say, I'm not even going to touch that. It's way too complicated and I can't understand it. But My Digital Money understands it and they'll help you figure it out. And you can talk to a US-based expert today who will help you figure it out. Not a call center where you don't get a hold of anybody or you don't get any answers. You talk to a real person. So if you think you're missing out in cryptocurrency, make sure to call 833-MDM-2008 or go to mydigitalmoney.com. That's mydigitalmoney.com. So now that we have that out of the way, let's dig into this article. This is very important stuff here. And I want you to share this video and also share this article with family and friends. This is what this is all about, right? They've repeated the same tactic over and over and over again, and people keep buying this stuff hook, line, and sinker. Manufacture consensus and consent on an international problem. Manufacture consensus and consent on an international solution. And like, you know, the COVID vaccines, there's a consensus among every multinational corporation, every bank, every media outlet, every government, and every billionaire about the topic of climate change. And then it's repeated by the liberals or the progressives who are supposed to be against this class of the elites. And so we're going to get into this here. It's at the release of the most recent report by the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, was met with widespread international alarm. The BBC wrote that this was code red for humanity. And the New York Times warned a hotter future is certain. A Guardian headline stated that major changes to the climate were inevitable and irreversible. While both the BBC and the Guardian seemingly celebrated a survey that showed that 4 in 10 young people now have almost uncontrollable anxiety about the climate. And they did. If you read through this Guardian article, they're basically saying that this is a good thing. It's a good thing that we've scared the shit out of young kids now about climate change, that they have almost uncontrollable anxiety about the climate and the end of the earth. And they ask the question, will this fear be enough? Will this fear be enough? Be enough to what? Be enough for them to be much more willing, the next coming generation be much more willing to turn over everything, to turn over everything in this great wealth transfer that continues, the greatest wealth transfer in human history. started a long time ago, but it really started with COVID-19. Goes on, it says in come the bankers with the help of the UN and world governments to finally save the day. The first step is find a way to purchase, own, and monetize the land we need to conserve. In October, journalist Whitney Webb reported on one of the plans launched by a group called the Intrinsic Exchange Group, who's going to be applying these intrinsic values to these natural assets, that promises to save us all from this catastrophe once and for all. According to the IEG, with the help of multinational corporations, billionaires, and other investors, the UN and IEG will rescue the planet from certain extermination, right? Because these people really care about you. They really care about the Earth. They really care about your well-being. They really care about your health. And so they're coming in and they're investing trillions of dollars to save the planet. In September, the New York Stock Exchange, NYSE, announced it had developed a new asset class and a listing vehicle aimed at preserving and restoring the natural assets that ultimately underlie the ability for there to be life on Earth. This is from report from Whitney Webb. The vehicle known as a Natural Asset Company, or NAC, not to be confused with NFT, will enable the formation of specialized firms that own the rights to the ecosystem services produced on a certain piece of land, such as carbon sequestration or clean water. The natural assets that these NACs commodify will subsequently be maintained, managed, and grown by them. So we're talking about everything, like I said, from photosynthesis to pollination to the food produced on this land. It's going to have an intrinsic value applied to it, and then it's going to be created, you know, a natural asset corporation is going to be created, and then that's going to be sold on the New York Stock Exchange. And so talking about a carbon sequestration, which is one of these processes, which is going to have a value applied to it and sold later on, we have an example here in the U.S. There was a group called the Summit Carbon Solutions, and they recently began work on this 1,300-mile-long pipeline in North Iowa. And it's the project is called the Midwest Carbon Express Pipeline. It's a $4.5 billion project. It's supposed to be the largest carbon capture project in the world, with the goal of sending 12 million tons of CO2 annually to Western North Dakota, where it can be stored underground. Now, the problem is that this land, a lot of this land is private land. And the landowners, of course, are expressing concerns about Summit Carbon's use of eminent domain. Eminent domain, for those who don't know, is when a government body can acquire private property for public use with or without sometimes compensation for the affected landowners. And a lot of times the compensation does not even equal what, you know, what they're supposedly supposed to get in the, from the land if they were to sell that land. And so shady deals like these have been going on in the U.S. for decades, but these new corporations that we're talking about in this article that are soon to be traded on the stock market casino aren't going to be largely focused on land looted in the U.S. They're going to be largely focused on land looted in developing countries. And so it gets worse. So make sure to stay tuned. It says, allegedly, NACs will use the funds from these newly obtained and monetized natural assets to help fight climate change by preserving the rainforests, mountains, and lakes, mostly abroad. They also vow to change the conventional agricultural production practices of farms to make them more efficient and sustainable. But of course, the creators of NACs concede the ultimate goal is to extract trillions of dollars in profits from natural processes such as photosynthesis, apply intrinsic values to natural processes, and then monetize it. And this is straight from their website, by the way. This is straight from the Intrinsic Exchange Group website. And they say that they are using intrinsic value as an umbrella for values not yet identified or quantified. So we have not yet identified this natural process that occurs. We haven't quantified it. We haven't applied a value to it. As well as values such as cultural, social, aesthetic, spiritual, etc. So it could be anything. And so it's basically what it is. It's a way for them to make an infinite amount of money. They even go into how much money they can potentially make from this. And so they're calling on investors to start investing in this. And this is a screenshot from their website. Following the launch, Fortune magazine noted that NACs allow for a new form of sustainable investment, which has caught the ears of BlackRock CEO Larry Fink. He's not going to be investing in a dud. Along with countless other infamous investors. The top three investors in the IEG are the Rockefeller Foundation, the same foundation that wrote the paper that predicted all of this, you know, back in 2012. We went over that paper before. Arbiter Ventures, a venture capital firm founded by Paul Klingenstein, focused mainly on digital healthcare, and the Inter-American Development Bank, which is the largest source of development financing for Latin America. Trust me, it gets worse. Make sure to stay tuned and make sure to listen closely. According to Webb, the Inter-American Development Bank, which is an MDB, and the Rockefeller Foundation both have been tied to pushes for central bank digital currencies, CBDCs, and biometric digital IDs. So we're talking about ID 2020. On the board of one of these alliances that has been formed is the head of Binance. one of the first countries on the chopping block for this new launch, part of the pilot program, is Costa Rica, of course. According to the IUG, the plan is to pioneer a new asset class based on natural assets and the mechanism to convert them into financial capital. New assets are all of which make life on Earth possible and enjoyable. Put simply, entire ecosystems and the benefits people receive from them will become financial assets. They talk about carbon sequestration here, like we just talked about. Now, what they say, the IEG notes, that the Natural Asset Corporation is just the issuer of the natural asset. So not only do they make money off the land that they're going to obtain, which we're going to talk about the processes that they're going to obtain this land, but then they're also going to make infinite amount of profit off of these natural assets that they apply this intrinsic value to. But the Natural Asset Corporation is just the issuer of the asset. The natural assets that the Natural Asset Corporation represents can be purchased on the New York Stock Exchange by investors like Larry Fink of BlackRock, or other individual investors, or private investors, or institutional investors, sovereign wealth funds. But of course, all of this is only possible if the land is transferred into the hands of the banks. And here's what they say. This is straight from their screenshot, straight from their own website. It says, identify a natural asset, nature's assets value, create a natural asset company, convert it to financial capital. Okay, IPO of the natural asset. The opportunity. So right now, there's a current value of $512 trillion in assets in the economy. With nature's economy, it's going to be $4 quadrillion. $4 quadrillion. Webb recently reported that in early November, an industry-led and UN-convened alliance of private banking and financial institutions announced their plans at COP26, which is one of these many climate conferences. There's like 50 different climate conferences that happen where these elite, these bankers, these multinational firms, these billionaires fly in on their private fucking jets and from the airport roll in their 32-car motorcade because they care so much about the climate. This is one of these, you know, many different climate conferences, COP26 conference. The group called the Glasgow Financial Alliance for Net Zero, GFANZ, G-F-A-N-Z, and the goal is to overhaul, according to them, the role of global and regional financial institutions, including the World Bank, the IMF, as a broader part of a broader plan to completely transform, to completely reset the global financial system. Some might think of the Great Reset, for instance, in terms of other things, to obtain the land necessary for the end. So this is the two basic steps that they're going to use to obtain the land that they're going to need for the natural asset corporations. It says to obtain the land for the natural asset corporations, developing nations would be forced to establish business environments beneficial to the alliance members and open up land. So think about this, guys. Think about this, okay? Like COVID and the vaccines, there is a consensus among every multinational corporation, every bank, everyone, about climate change. You also have liberals, progressives on YouTube, on their YouTube channels, and their Twitter accounts, and in the mainstream media, all in lockstep, repeating the exact same talking points coming from these people on climate change and the impending doom that we face. The solutions and the script for the international problem and the consensus that is manufactured on the international problem and the solution is coming from Bank of America, HSBC, Goldman Sachs, Bill Gates, Janet Yellen, Henry Kissinger even, Michael Bloomberg. This is where this is coming from. And these people repeat this. And these people also say that they're against the system. Think about that. It goes on. And get this, because this is exactly what they call this. It says, to obtain the land necessary, developing nations will be forced to establish business environments beneficial to the alliance members and open up land. This can be accomplished in several ways, including debt for nature swaps, which is literally what they call it, by the way. This is not like a derogatory description of a process, a formal process that they call something else. That's literally what they call it. This process is where a creditor country forgives a portion of the public bilateral debt of a debtor nation in exchange for environmental commitments from that country, i.e. giving up land. The degree of debt for nature swaps groups like these have engaged in have been well documented in Argentina, Patagonia for decades. What occurred there, though, is going to pale in comparison to what's going to occur all across the world with this new plan. There was another one of these conferences that we talk about. It's called the Climate Leaders Summit in April of 2021. So just this past year, like, it was convened by the U.S. and attended by global policymakers, including Argentina. Argentina, at this conference, alluded to another one of these swaps. because they're in debt. Argentina's president, Alberto Fernandez, pushed for an agreement with its creditor countries to reduce part of the foreign debt in exchange for increased environmental and climate commitments. So this is, you know, this is one of these ways. This is one of the ways that they get this debt for nature swaps, right, this land. In other words, when a Latin American country owes money, they open up their land to pay the debt or the interest of the debt, or just the interest of the debt. The process is normally referred to as debt trap diplomacy, or put simply, debt entrapment. Multilateral development banks, such as the World Bank, MDBs, leverage the debt of developing countries to force them to privatize public assets. So in the 1990s, the North Face co-founder, one of the founders of North Face Clothing, and his second wife, who was the executive of the clothing brand Patagonia, they purchased more than 2 million acres of wilderness in Chile. So this is one of these examples, right? You force them to privatize, open up to investors, or force them just to give their land up completely. To conserve it. We want to conserve it. This was under the guise of conservation efforts. The other way this land grab can be accomplished is by using powerful international groups like the UN to pressure developing countries to deregulate and open up their land for privatization due to their urgent, life-threatening menace of climate change, right? So this is, they use the UN, this government pressures this country, you know, you got to open up your land, you got to do this because we have this life-threatening menace of climate change. The GFANS Alliance, and I have my dog wagging his tail against my wall in the background. The GFANS Alliance was launched in April by John Kerry, Janet Yellen, and former chair of the Bank of England, Mark Carney. Carney also co-chairs the alliance with Michael Bloomberg. So here's a screenshot. This is directly from their website, from the GFANS website. In case you're interested, we have the links to all of this. While the world focuses on Russia reportedly planning a military offensive against Ukraine and China apparently rehearsing for an attack in Taiwan, the supranational banking elite is quietly invading the U.S. and other countries worldwide to loot their resources. And that's exactly what's going on. And of course, if they don't manufacture consensus on the solution, if everyone doesn't go along with this, well, what do the bankers do in that case? Well, the bankers then start a war and then fund both sides of the war. They've been doing this forever. And now all of a sudden we see all these reports about China and Russia. We'll see what happens with that. John Kerry recently noted the largest financial players in the world recognize energy transition and it how it represents a vast commercial opportunity. All right, so these guys aren't given trillions of dollars, doling out trillions of dollars because of the goodness of their heart, because they're philanthropists and philanthropic, you know, attempts in their philanthropic attempts. They're doing it because it's an investment. It's a commercial opportunity for them. It's a grand opportunity, an opportunity for an infinite amount of wealth to these people in the case of NACs. The principals listed on the GFANS website include the CEOs of BlackRock, Bank of America, Citibank, Banco Santander, and the HSBC, which had been known to launder money for drug cartels many times. The CEO of the London Stock Exchange, chairwoman of the David Rockefeller Fund. In mid-November, Michael Bloomberg hosted his New Economy Forum, which is another one of these conferences, just like the World Economic Forum. You know, this is probably meant to replace the World Economic Forum with all the heat they've received and attention they've received lately. According to the event's website, the group is focused primarily on climate change and COVID-19 vaccines. And it's like, it's rich. You read through this shit. And it's, you go to their, by the way, Henry Kissinger, Hank Paulson, you read through this and it's like forcing humanity to grapple with the consequences. But there is hope. From the bankers, they're going to give you the solution. Even as the pandemic still rages on, the success of groundbreaking the acceleration of digital economy during lockdown and the focus on government spending to save lives. It's ridiculous. Bloomberg's New Economy Forum is led by Bill Gates, Henry Kissinger, Penny Pritzker, Pritzker family, as well as a dozen other board members with ties to multinational banks like Goldman Sachs. The former governor of the People's Bank of China, as well as the founder of Binance, are on the board as well. Hey, China is the problem, guys. Oh, by the way, we got a bunch of Chinese officials and people from the Chinese Communist Party working with us on these alliances, and we got to go after the ones that are coal-dependent nations, the developing nations. This is the threat. China doesn't have anything to do with this. Doesn't have anything to do with carbon emissions, despite the fact that they're the top emitter of carbons. Per the alliance's press release, this plan focuses on the development of country platforms, which is basically just... A country platform is basically, a country with lucrative land they can obtain for loan ownership, monetize, corporatize, and sell on the New York Stock Exchange. There was John Kerry came out, and he said this just recently. This was a recent video. And he said that people invested trillions. So now we have to find a way to deploy that money. He says this in this video here. We have to find a way to deploy that money. And we have to focus on, these carbon-dependent nations. Jeff Bezos gave $1 billion to this effort as well. He promised to distribute the full amount by 2030. You will owe nothing and be happy by 2030, as the World Economic Forum says. They say they also want to... The GFANS report states that the Multilateral Development Bank should be used to encourage developing nations to create an appropriate, high-level, and cross-cutting enabling environment. What do you think that means? The MDBs need to be used to encourage countries to create high-level and cross-cutting enabling environments. Enabling. Beneficial. Lucrative environments to investors. They need to deregulate. You understand. Another mechanism that comes into play is the Global Public-Private Partnership, or the GPPP, which is a worldwide collective of billionaires, including central banks, philanthropic foundations, think tanks, and governments working together as a network in order to implement policy favorable to the banks. As journalist Ian Davis writes, under our current model of Westphalian national sovereignty, the government of one nation cannot make legislation or law in another. But through the GPPP, they create policy initiatives at the global level and then cascade down to people in every nation. And so, based on the proposed international problem, the GPPP enforces the international consensus for the solution. It is then that the policy framework is set. So then they don't have to create traditional individual legislation. Then, of course, you have the Climate Finance Leadership Initiative. This is another one of these groups. It was formed at the request of the United Nations with Goldman Sachs and HSBC and AXA, Equitable. They're also there. So through the CFLI, networks of banks and corporations recommend policy to achieve net zero emissions. That's what they say. That's what they claim. One of the solutions implied is obtaining huge swaths of land in North America to build solar and wind farms through eminent domain in a lot of cases. Bill Gates is the largest farmland owner in America. He has 242,000 acres of farmland. Why do you think he owns that farmland? Why do you think he's been buying up this farmland? It's starting to make a lot of sense now, isn't it? His farmland portfolio stretches across 18 states. Some of the major portions of his farmland are in states like Nebraska and Louisiana. Does that make sense to you? Well, now it does, as we're talking about this. There was another report. One of Bill Gates' major investment firms purchased about 25,000 acres in just outside of Phoenix, and they're creating suburb communities, probably mostly rental communities, for this new rental America. You're going to rent everything that you need, as the World Economic Forum says, by 2030. 80,000 homes are being built. We talked about this in recent news reports up on dailyveracity.com, how BlackRock and other investors are buying up thousands of homes, buying up entire neighborhoods, pricing Americans completely out of the market, creating these rental communities. In 2017, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation also pledged $300 million to help low-income farmers in Asia and Africa adapt to climate change. And here is the main kicker as far as our long storied history with bankers and wars and regime changes. So there is an insider report. There was an insider report from Insider News, and it was about this Oakland Institute report that they made this report public, and it was regarding billionaires buying up land in Africa. The Oakland Institute report stated that the amount of land being purchased in the continent of Africa, quote unquote, concerned them, and that hedge funds and other foreign firms have been acquiring large swaths of African land throughout basically every single country in Africa. In the same year, the BBC published a headline. And this is the headline here, called Hedge Funds Grabbing Land in Africa. Okay? The Oakland Institute concluded in the report that the acquisitions had displaced millions of small farmers and created insecurity in the global food system that could be a much bigger threat than terrorism, the report said. So think about all these things that these people talk about, all these things that these people supposed to care about, then look at what is actually being done behind the scenes. The interest these billionaires have in this land abroad is not just the infinite lucrative potential of NACs, it also includes precious metals and minerals. According to the New York Post, which is this article here, and we'll bring this up right now, billionaire-backed mining firm seeking to acquire a bunch of land. Mineral exploration company Cobalt Metals, backed by billionaires including Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates, recently signed a deal to search for and mine for critical materials used in electric vehicles. Cobalt calls in a network of billionaires to help them compete with China. China's literally on their boards. In their report, Cobalt states that more than half of the world's cobalt reserves are in the Democratic Republic of Congo. They need to find a way to prevent China's influence. Here's their graph. Of course, it seems this broad network of philanthropists seeking to achieve net zero emissions have completely forgotten that cobalt mining is one of the dirtiest processes for the environment. One of the dirtiest processes for the environment. Should come as no surprise to you, then, there is a report from mining.com that predicts that CO2 emissions from cobalt mining production are expected to soar in 2021. Lockheed Martin is also apparently getting in on the action. UK Seabed Resources, a subsidiary of Lockheed Martin, has a bunch of licenses and contracts set to explore endless amounts of the Pacific seafloor to extract mineral-rich polymetallic nodules. And then here's the final point I want to make. As far as regime change is concerned and the bankers' wars are concerned, Tanzania, one of the countries in the chopping block of these multinational firms, has recently become a major target for nickel production. According to Reuters, the northwest part of the country has the world's largest development-ready high-grade nickel sulfide deposit. Now, there have been a lot of quote-unquote conspiracy theories surrounding the death of the Tanzanian president, John Magufuli. We actually wrote about it, I think, on dailyveracity.com, about the three guys, men who killed Haiti president, revealed to FBI informant, three presidents die after blocking vaccine distribution. This is absolutely true, by the way. All the people involved in the Haiti plot were U.S. citizens. Same thing goes probably for the president of Tanzania. So a lot of the conspiracy theories around his death were tied to like COVID vaccine response and the COVID-19 response. But his regulations against investment firms are far more plausible conspiracy. So less than two weeks before, or just months after Magufuli's death, the UK-based mining firm Kabanga Nickel Limited signed an agreement with Tanzania to develop the Kabanga Nickel Project, formerly sought by Barrick Gold and Glencore. Before his death, according to Reuters, Barrick Gold and Glencore lost a massive nickel project in 2018 when Tanzanian President John Magufuli's administration revoked their retention license, along with the licenses of 10 other investors as a part of mining laws and regulations. You wouldn't deregulate? Okay, we're going to kill you. And this is, we have a long history of this. Don't brush this off as a conspiracy theory. We have a long history with this. Not the entire world does. The U.S. supported 2019 coup in Bolivia. Here's another example, which many news outlets say led to massacres came less than a week after former President Juan Morales stopped multinational firms' lithium deal in the country. Mexican president flew him out of Cochabamba before he was killed into Mexico. He thanks him for saving his life. The Western world has long, well-documented history of bankers, wars, and regime change. Many claim the U.S.-backed 2011 military intervention in Libya by NATO forces and the subsequent death of Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi was an intentional act by the U.S. government, which sought to benefit the bankers, which it was. There was an email published by Sidney Blumenthal to then-Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, which was published by WikiLeaks, which we have right here, directly from the WikiLeaks website. This links to this email about Gaddafi's gold. And Blumenthal complained that Gaddafi's government had possession of 143 tons of gold and a similar amount of silver, which he sought to use to establish a pan-African currency outside the reach of the central banks. That's literally what it says in this email. Just 6 months after the email, Gaddafi, the deposed leader of Libya, was captured and killed after the Battle of Sirte. And there you go. Remember, we came, we saw, he died, the Hillary Clinton clip about Gaddafi. And so what's to come next, right? How do we get people to go along with this? Because it's not enough just to try to scare the shit out of them with, like, the media promoting this, right? In manufacturing consent for the international solution and the international problem. It's not enough. What do we got to do? Well, we have to make these people cold, and we have to starve them. That's, we have to starve them. And so here we have New York Times, and we have all these cyber attacks against fuel lines, all these cyber attacks that just all of a sudden happened and are going against like meat processing plants and this worker shortage in the country, inflation. President Biden will tap into U.S. oil reserves in concert with other nations. Interesting, depleting all the reserves. He's trying. So what happened in 1970 with the fuel crisis, where you literally had, you had people defending their gas tanks with guns because people were looting their gas. People like this one here, defending their gas tanks with guns. You had only a certain people with certain license plates can drive every week during this 1970s fuel crisis. It was temporary, but they want this to be perpetual. They want this to be perpetual. They want what happened in Texas in the wintertime to consistently happen every winter. They want this to consistent fires, wildfires, committed by arsonists. You have barns just going up in flames randomly. All sorts of barns all across the country going up in flames randomly. They want this shit to happen every summer, every winter, perpetually, and then blame it on climate change. They want you to be cold. They want you to be hot. They want you to be starving. And they want to blame it on climate change. Biden also is reportedly exploring the closure of yet another pipeline in a bid to shift the U.S. away from fossil fuels. And so there you go. Make sure to share this video with family and friends. Make sure to share the article with family and friends. Make sure to support the show. We need your support. DailyVeracity.com/support. Check out My Patriot Supply. We have the new ammo can back in stock. 1 week supply. You can see the food supply behind me. Water filtration. PrepareWithVincent.com. WaterWithVincent.com. Subscribestar. DailyVeracity.com/support. Excuse me. Make sure to check out the links in the description all below.